The fairy tale princess is an enduring character in girls' books and movies, and tomorrow we'll see that character come to life as Kate Middleton marries her prince. If you watch it, you won't be alone. The global audience for the wedding of William and Kate is expected to be 3 billion people. Princess Kate will join Denmark's Princess Mary as part of the new generation of royal women who live their lives in the media spotlight. So, what's expected of the 21st century princess, and how different is she from the traditional version? Dr. Michelle Smith researches girls' literature and culture. She's a postdoctoral fellow in the School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne, and she's been thinking about these very questions. She joins me now. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really well. Why is the princess character so powerful and enduring for girls? We've had decades of feminism now, yet the princess seems as popular as ever.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit depressing for all the feminists out there because it's almost kind of a wholesale embrace of this traditional, subservient, passive femininity. And if you've ever walked into a toy shop in the past 5 years or so, you would have seen the kind of plethora of princess paraphernalia, the sort of Disney juggernaut of pink tiaras and puffy dresses. So I'm not sure whether that's a kind of return to a sort of certainty of this ultimate feminine role of the princess against a backdrop where women actually are living very complicated lives, where they're doing many things, including trying to work, trying to raise family, and whether it's perhaps a simpler fantasy ideal of an easier time.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
The thing about being a princess, of course, is there's not a lot of work involved. There's a lot of kind of hanging around looking fabulous, but apart from that.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, traditionally, the key quality that is admired of a princess is that she is beautiful. And that's, I guess, part of what people worry about when girls are getting involved in idolising princess culture in their early years, that all they're wanting to do is to be considered attractive and to be plucked from obscurity by a prince who thinks they're beautiful. But I think today's princesses are actually showing that people are demanding a little bit more. The royal family is demanding a little bit more, that it's no longer enough for a woman to simply look beautiful, that, you know, we have princesses like an impending Kate who has had a university degree, the first member of a royal, a person to marry in like Kate who has had a degree, and it has been 100 years since women have been able to attain degrees. So it's a kind of, you're not being plucked straight from teen years into this institution like Diana, who was 19. There's been time for her to mature and to show that she has intelligence as well as beauty.
The other thing I'm not sure about, and I have to admit I know not very much at all about Kate Middleton, but I assume there have been other blokes apart from William.
Well, I'm not so sure on the history of it all, but I do know that there has been, there was some touch-and-go moments where he perhaps wasn't giving her the commitment that she wanted, and she had a phase of going out partying. She brushed up on the fake tan and started looking fabulous, and I think gave him a bit of a sign that it was possible for her to move on and that she could go elsewhere. So that's a kind of, a slightly empowered perspective, in that she didn't sit waiting solely for him, that she said, look, if you're not willing to commit, or at least, show me that there's something on the horizon, that I can get there and go to the nightclub, and I'm not just waiting for you to passively rescue me.
Yeah, that's right. She's very attractive. If she goes to the nightclub, she's going to pull if she really wants to.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
They've, as I understand it, they've lived together for a while as well, which is pretty modern if you're a possible future queen. And it really does show that society's changed, and that even the royals are going to encourage this as a precursor to marriage.
Exactly. So even a quite conservative institution like the British royal family have permitted this, I guess, that they've spent these years living together. They've had their time at university, but they've also sort of had their little seaside house while Will's works, in his military capacity. So that's quite different from the Diana scenario, where we had that sort of public announcement that, yes, she is a virgin, as if people had to know that, as if that was a prerequisite for the princess, whereas I don't think in general as a population, we're asking that question of Kate. So it is showing, thankfully, that we have moved on a little.
She's Kate Middleton's educated. She went to St Andrews, which is a very good university. She's relatively mature. She's clearly a woman of some intelligence and qualities. So you can say, I think you do say, that this has a positive influence on young girls, because we've got a more assertive, independent sort of princess now.
Yes, I would hope so. I would hope that a lot of this fantasy ideal of the sort of Disney princess who does very little other than wait to be rescued might help to be dispelled a little by these two young modern princesses who are still fitting within a quite traditional framework. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Kate say, look, actually, I want to pursue a career and I won't be having any children. That's sort of
no.
Not really what's expected of her role. But at least the fact she has a degree gives her a springboard where, like Diana, went off and made quite an international impact in terms of charity work and so on, even though she was thrust in a quite traditional, powerless way originally. Maybe Kate and Mary have a better springboard to show the power of women. And, of course, the monarchy has had some very powerful, respected women like Queen Elizabeth II and Queen Victoria who show that it is entirely possible.
But Michelle, she's not going to get to do what Queen Elizabeth II did or Queen Victoria. She is going to be a bit of a professional fundraiser.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, traditionally, if that woman is going to be in the powerful role, she is going to be the heir to the throne, and Kate's sort of not in that position. Nevertheless, at least she's coming in on a more equal footing than perhaps any princess before, in that she has a relationship where, at least behind the scenes, she's perhaps not the subordinate party, and where people are expecting, I guess she will be the fundraiser, as you say. Mm. But
and later on, the mother of the heir to the throne, one would imagine.
Exactly. But it's a test, I guess, in that we've got two women who seem to be assertive, who seem to be intelligent, who've had some education and life before the royal family, so they've had some time to develop into women, and perhaps, you know, that's going to give them a grounding to do more with the role than has been possible in the past century or so, and some sort of, you know, tragic figures like Diana, who perhaps were so young and, you know, unable to grasp how to kind of carve out their own path.
Mm, and it's a different time. My guest on Life Matters is Michelle Smith, who's a postdoctoral fellow in the School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne, and really studies girls' literature and culture and stories. And we're talking about the idea of a thoroughly modern princess. And if you think about Princess Mary of Denmark or Kate Middleton, who's about to marry Prince William, that's the kind of picture we're dwelling on. Michelle, what I can't get away from, though, is that both of these women are beautiful, they're rich, they're slim, they're dressed to the nines. Don't those things remain important hallmarks for a princess?
Yeah, I think they do, and so I'm not suggesting that we've lost all of the trappings of the stereotypical princess here, but those aren't enough on their own. I don't think that people were asking questions. Why isn't Kate working? What is her prospect? What is she doing? Is she just whiling away her time waiting for the marriage to come or the proposal to arrive? So the fact that people asked those questions, I think, showed a beginning of breaking down the idea that all she's there for is a decorative piece. Mm.
But while and the British monarchy needed to do this, it's accepted this different kind of princess. The line of succession is still going to be the firstborn male. Is there actually any prospect of that changing?
I think there's been quite a bit of discussion about that lately, because you know, many people feel, along with the rules about Catholicism, that the rule that if a girl is born first, that she won't be able to be the heir to the throne is patently unfair in a contemporary environment. But I believe there's some sort of constitutional issues with that one, because each of the Commonwealth nations needs to change some laws and come into accord with that. So there was a bit of a push, but I believe it's not so easy to implement. But clearly that patently sexist law of succession has to change if we are to see the monarchy as a non-sexist contemporary institution. And I guess there's many other aspects that would need to change as well. But, It's something that has come to attention, particularly in light of having a modern princess like Kate, in that she probably would want, if she did have a firstborn daughter, for her to be, not subordinated to a younger brother.
No, indeed. I can't let you go, Michelle, without asking. Will you be watching tomorrow?
Sadly, you know, everyone I know will probably hang their heads in shame, but yes, I will. I'm just glued. I don't know. A lot of people have remarked on how they're not really royalists, but they feel that they have to watch it. And as I'm not that much older than the bride and groom, I feel I've grown up with Prince William, and I can't believe I'm old enough to be witnessing them getting married. So quite tragically, I will be watching all the pomp and ceremony.
Well, you won't be by yourself, Michelle. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Michelle Smith. She's a postdoctoral fellow in the School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne. And look, tomorrow on Life Matters, in our very own nod to the royal nuptials, we're revisiting a great discussion called Marry Him. It features the author Laurie Gottlieb and her passionate plea to single women in particular not to wait around for the prince or Mr. Right, Mr. Perfect, but to instead consider settling for Mr. Good Enough. Don't miss it, as we all know there are a lot more frogs than princes or princesses out there if you're looking for a life partner.